This is the Wild Alchemy Podcast, and I am your host, Luna B. Jones. This podcast is a sacred space to hold and birth wild and alchemical transformational magic. I am so grateful and so blessed that you're here with me today. Yeah, this is the Wild Alchemy Podcast. I am your host, Luna B. Jones, and this is the pilot episode of the Wild Alchemy Podcast. So I am absolutely honored to have an old friend of mine, Kenzie, Hello. Here with me today.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I feel so honored to be your first guest and be on the pilot.
I feel so honored to have you, and I feel it's so perfect, like we talked about before, and serendipitous to have you as my first guest on this podcast because of our similarities and parallels of our experience. Yes. So... Ooh. I dropped the phone. I might cut that out. I might leave it in. So we're gonna talk today.
Take a moment. Hold on. It's 1:11 my time, so that means it's 11:11. So I just want to honor this moment.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm so happy. I looked at the clock right on the spot.
That's perfect alignment. Yes. That's alignment right there. And the numbers 1, 1, 1, 11 and 11:11 are symbols of like divine new beginnings and being in alignment. 1 is a very powerful number. So how perfect is that? Thank you for bringing that to our attention. So we're going to talk today about what it was like growing up in a super privileged and materialistic bubble. And what it was like for both of us not fitting into that bubble, being outcasts. So we've shared very parallel experiences in our awakening process. So we're here today to talk about what that experience has been like.
Yes.
So without further ado, let's get started.
Let's do it.
Fed a bologna sandwich. And I just think that this is the most disgusting thing that I've ever tasted. And I love food. My grandfather was a chef. He was a phenomenal cook. Food is definitely my love language. So I was not a picky eater. But I bit into this bologna and I just barfed. I just threw up. And I was like, this is disgusting. And mind you, I'm like 4. So there's no reason for me to consciously understand like processed meat and why it's not healthy. But I intuitively knew that it wasn't like, quote, real meat. Yeah. And it wasn't like, quote, real food. And I was just completely disgusted. And I threw up.
So we'll start with, when was your first conscious thought about exploring into a different lifestyle than you were previously raised in?
Yes, that's such a juicy question. I love that question. So for me, I would say the first time I had a conscious thought about exploring a different lifestyle than the way I was raised, and we talked about this a little bit before, and I'm going to share the same story I shared before. I did try to re-review the questions in meditation and see if something else came up. And I was like, no, that was my authentic first answer. So that's going to be my first answer, as silly as it might be. So for me, my first conscious thought that was sort of wanting to explore a lifestyle outside of the way I was raised was when I was probably about 4 and I'm on my back patio and I am being, but I knew intuitively, like, even though I was like about the camping, I think my first real camping experience, you remember like Pine Cove and Sky Ranch? I loved that because it was more like glamping. Yes. You have the cabins and everything. So that was a really easy like transition and introduction for me. And then I also went to a church camp and I loved that because of the lake and, you know, but even like you mentioned the trees in Dallas and how they don't grow very big. Now I live out in the Southwest. Right now I'm stationed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I've lived in the West for, you know, off and on for the last 4 years. And recently I was in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I just, in all of these cities, any of these Western cities, have you noticed that even in these cities and in the suburbs, how huge the trees are?
Yeah, well, okay. And that's the thing. So I just recently in the last 6 months moved out to South Carolina. And I remember driving up and I was like, holy cow, I have never seen so many trees in such a dense area. And it's so incredible, especially in the area that I'm in. They've built a lot of roads, but they build their roads around their trees. So they curve. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. As we're Dallas, they're like, oh, we'll just bulldoze that tree and we'll put another one in later. And I love that the trees here have precedence over the roads. It's such a beautiful thing to see. And I mean, they're huge. I've seen large trees traveling out to Northern California. Those trees, I mean, nothing can get more massive than those. But I mean, just seeing these large trees in this residential area is something that I never would have imagined was even possible.
Absolutely. Yes. I lived in Charleston for a short period of time. And it was like that in Charleston too, where the roads were winding and going around the trees, and the trees are so, there's so many willow trees and oak trees and
the Spanish moss.
Just breathtaking. And you really, like, if any of our listeners today, if you live in a concrete jungle, like, you don't know what you're missing. You really don't know what you're missing. Like, you have got to get out. Yeah.
Even if it's just for a day. Explore. Like, get out of the city and you'll realize, you won't realize right away what you're feeling, but it'll just be this peaceful and surreal moment when you just take in the fresh air. That's another thing that I didn't realize was such a big thing to me, was the fresh air. Like, I used to hate sitting out in my backyard. Granted, my backyard was like this tiny little thing because you're in suburb city. And so, I mean, it's not much of a backyard. And I love sitting out in my backyard here. I have the trees. I have a river, or a little, not river, but a creek in my backyard. So I can stare at the creek and just listen to the wind blow through the leaves. And I mean, it's my absolute favorite thing to do. And I used to hate sitting outside. One, because of the heat. And two, because of the smog. And like, you didn't get that fresh air feeling and that peaceful release.
Yeah, the air quality was terrible. Like, my skin, when I moved for the first time from Dallas to Denver, Colorado, my skin literally, like, snap of the fingers cleared
up. Same. When I moved to Colorado, it was like, what is with this air? And then I was like, oh, no, it's not this air. It's the air that I was in before that was polluting my skin. Yeah. And I'm an esthetician, and so, I mean, I take really good care of my skin. I wash my face twice a day. I use all organic products. Like, I know what I'm doing. And so it was so frustrating not ever having perfectly clear skin, especially in the profession that I was in. But it was due to the smog.
Okay. So that was a – that was a great aside conversation. I think that's really important to talk about is, like – just basic human needs. Like, we need all of the elements in our life, right? Like, we need clean air, we need clean water. We know now, even through science, that we physically need to get our feet bare and walk on the grass. And what that does for the body and the mind and the soul. And so when people are living in these concrete jungles and they don't, like, New York City, like, they have Central Park, you know? Like, at least they have the parks, and all these other cities in the West, like Denver and San Francisco and all these big cities, they have gorgeous parks. Like, here in Albuquerque, the Rio Grande is in my backyard. So you have that access and that connection, but there are places where you don't have that access and that connection. And it's really important to get that access and that connection to nature and to earth. And especially when I hear people say that they don't like being outside or they don't like nature, I'm like, oh, honey, you need it more than anyone. Yes, you need it more than anyone. I am going to throw you in the woods.
And I mean, it's not like you have to get out in nature and like spend weeks out there and get all dirty. Like, just a simple walk, like through a path trail, will do so much good for your spirit and your mind. Like, and I mean, it's proven it'll physically change your body and your attitude. So, I mean, it's so important.
It is. It is. I threw up the bologna and I was like, this is, excuse my French, but this is fucking disgusting. And I obviously didn't say that before, but right now thinking about it, I'm like, that's gross. And I just remember being like literally turning to my grandmother and being like, what is this? Like, is this even real meat? This is like plastic. This is gross. And I'm a kid. And so that was really, you know, that's not just in contradiction to our more like privileged upper middle class lifestyle. That's really just modern America and society in general, where you have quick, easy, fast food, but it's lacking in nutrition
and flavor.
So, and flavor, and it's loaded with poison and toxins. Did you know, aside, that processed meat is actually a stage one carcinogen with cigarettes?
100%.
Yeah. So that was the first time that I had a conscious thought about questioning the lifestyle. And I also, mind you, I'm naked in the backyard gardening and I just love being naked. And I'm like, I don't want to put clothes on. Let me be outside naked. So those were kind of together.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what about you?
First conscious thought, I used to go camping. I'm going to stick to my original answer just because, like you said, it's the most authentic answer that I could have given. I used to go camping and with my grandparents all the time, and we would stay for weeks at these campgrounds, and we would go out on the boat and we'd just sit in the sun. And I remember eating sunflower seeds, and it's like, you don't have any concept of time and you can just kind of do whatever, and you're out in nature and you don't hear these cars or these, I mean, any of this, the city noises. And I just remember being in absolute peace. And I was like, this is where I want to be all the time. I don't want this to be a vacation. I want this to be my permanent. And and I mean, we did that since I was a baby. So I mean, honestly, I can't remember the exact age that I was when I was like, this is the lifestyle I want to live. But it was from a very, very young age. And so, I mean, that's just like my first cognizant memory of being like, okay, I don't want city life, but yet I was too young to break away from my family's traditions and my family's upbringing that they decided to put me in. And so I know from a young age that's what my calling was, and that was my very first conscious thought.
Wow, that was beautiful. I just got chills listening to you talk about that. So yes, like living out in the wilderness and having that sort of more minimalist, essentialist lifestyle where you're connected, that is 100% in alignment for you. And I see that and I feel that. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Nature has been calling me since I was very young, and it's been hard.
Oh, girl.
It's been hard to connect to it through this lifestyle that we were raised in, but it's so beautiful now recognizing these callings and seeing how they've happened my entire life. So, yes.
Yeah. So you actually just said something that I think is really important, and we should touch on this. You just said nature has been calling you for a long time, and it was challenging with the way that we were raised to be connected with it. So I actually want to talk about that and explore that a little bit, because I resonate with that too, very much. Most of my healing and spiritual awakenings have happened in nature. I guess I want to talk a little bit about what that was like, feeling that disconnect from nature growing up. So we grew up in suburbs of Dallas, Texas. And so for the listeners on here who have never been to Texas, who don't know what Texas is like, it is flat.
Yes.
It is flat. And the trees in the Dallas area have been planted there because they are required by city
ordinance. Yes. And it, I mean, Dallas is called the concrete city. So they bulldozed most of the greenery and they've laid down concrete. And so the trees that have been planted there are very small. They're surrounded by concrete that compresses their roots. And so they never get very large. And so it's just a very blocked in city and a lot of cement. And even when you try and go out of the jungle of the concreteness, you do just see a lot of flat plain, which I mean is very gorgeous in itself, but it's just, it's not as naturesque as one would think Texas would be, at least the area that we were raised in.
Yes. It's not like West Texas where, you know, you have Big Bend and there is this expansive, like rolling desert and plains. It's a, you said it perfectly. It's a concrete jungle. It's a concrete city. And I mean, I want to say that I can only speak for myself, but I feel like I can also speak for you on this. That was really depressing.
Oh, 100%. And the sad thing is that you don't even realize what the emotion is that you're feeling because you're so young and you're trying to figure out so many different things already that being strapped in and not ever really getting to experience nature, you don't realize that you're in a depression. And then you're also trying to keep up with everybody who's living this fast-paced minded lifestyle. And the more materials that you have, the more abundance and more happiness that you'll actually have, but it's so not true. And so, I mean, you're just at such a confused point in your life and it, yeah, it's a very, very strange upbringing. Personally, I 100% agree with your statement.
Yeah. Definitely. It's like you said, you don't realize what you're feeling and you don't realize what you're disconnected from until you find it. So it sounds like you had, like, thankfully, really early experiences camping and experiencing that. And for me, I think my earliest experience was the gardening. And then also, you know, I did start camping fairly early. But to be honest, I didn't like it at first because I was so conditioned to be used to that, like, over-sterilized plastic concrete life.
Well, and it's
but
not the cool thing.
I knew. Yeah, it's not. You're not cool. Like,
what a beautiful story. I'm so happy that not only once, but twice were you reminded. And I think that's so important to kind of recognize, especially since at a young age, I mean, it's really hard to be in a society that doesn't really accept the nature calling and doesn't really accept a peaceful life, but a more attuned life. And so I think it's really important to kind of note that you were called once, and yes, you did fall into a second or fall into a different pattern, but you were brought back. Like, the universe will always bring you back to where you're supposed to be.
Yes. I just got chills. And also, you know, if I hadn't had that foundation of wilderness therapy, do you think that I would have known that what I needed was the woods?
No, not at all. Yeah.
Probably not.
Next question. What would you say the pivot point of your path down this journey was?
Oh, yes. I love this question. So I have two because there is the first one that was when I was still a teenager and I was still living in this concrete jungle in this world. And then there's the one where I was an adult and it really stuck. So I'll talk about the first one first. When I was it was the end of my freshman year in high school, and I had been having some behavioral challenges. So my therapist and I, my therapist and my grandparents and I decided that we were going to send me to wilderness therapy. And I'm not sure how many of my listeners know what wilderness therapy is, so I'll just, like, give a little bit of a description of it. Wilderness therapy, simply put, is eliminating the distractions and eliminating the day-to-day distractions of modern society. And you are in a group, and they have this for adolescents and for adults. Personally, I believe it to be one of the most healing modalities out there for behavioral challenges or substance abuse. I've witnessed it firsthand from my experience, and I've also returned to the same program and worked there and seen the transformation that happens. But basically, the idea behind it is that when you take away the distractions and the noise, and it's just you and Mother Nature, you have no other option than to face your shit and heal it and deal with it. And you're in a community, and you're in a support system and a group with other people around the same age who are dealing with similar issues. So you have the gift of being triggered by one another in a safe space where you are able to really explore that and to heal that. So I went to wilderness therapy when I was 15 years old. And, you know, growing up in this concrete jungle, I went to wilderness therapy in Asheville, North Carolina. And so North Carolina, that area of North Carolina, is a temperate rainforest. So it's lush and it's beautiful. It's where the Blue Ridge Mountains are. So I was hiking through the Blue Ridge, I know, and the Pisgah National Forest. Absolutely breathtaking. It's part of the Appalachian Trail. And so that was a real shift for me, you know? And then I came home, and of course, being a teenager, ironically, I went home on 420.
Did you really?
I did. I went home from boarding school. So I went from wilderness, which absolutely changed my life and laid a great foundation for me, and was the first moment where I had an aha moment that like you said, I want to be in nature full time. I want to camp full time. I want this to be my life. At 15. And then I went to boarding school from there, and I went home on 420. And of course, I slipped right back into a lot of the same patterns and behaviors with my peers, which is common. But the foundation was laid. And so the real pivot point was then, fast forward, I'm 21, and I get a call from my aunt. I'm still living in Dallas. I'm the only member of my family still living in Dallas. The rest of my family has moved away to Alabama. And I'm going to school full time, studying to be a singer. I'm studying commercial music. So again, it's that commercialized, capitalistic program where it's about making money. And I hated it. I was like, this is my art. I don't care if my art makes money. I want to share it authentically. Yeah. So I'm miserable in my program at school, but I'm only doing it because my family basically bribed me. And I'm working full time, and I get a call that my grandfather has passed away, he was my father. He raised me. And suddenly the reality of my mortality hits me like a truck, and I can't do it anymore. And so I decide that I'm going to go on a road trip. I'm going to go to the West. I don't know how, I don't know where exactly. I just know I want to hit Colorado and, you know, just go through the West. And then I get an invitation from my first love for his band's first show. Cause I love musicians. And I respond to the invitation, and I'm like, you know, I'm still in Dallas. And he tells me that if I can make it out there, that I can stay with him for a few weeks and come visit, because I had shared with him, you know, that he knew that my grandfather had passed. He had seen it on Facebook, and it was just divine timing is what it was. It was a divine opportunity. It was the universe answering my prayers. And so I went out to Denver, and I went to his show, and I stayed with him for about a month. And then I ended up moving out to Denver. And I spent my free time in the woods, mm-hmm. healing and moving through my grief.
Such a beautiful place to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Colorado's got something special going on in their mountains.
Oh, yes. There's magic in those mountains. Yes,
there is.
That's something that's really important, I think, to remind anyone who works in the helping profession or anyone who has loved ones who are struggling with their mental health or with substance abuse or with just these patterns of behavior and belief systems, is that when we are helping people or when we're going through it ourselves, we're planting seeds. And when you plant a seed, the farmer does not expect a literal immediate harvest. It takes time. It needs to be watered. It needs to be nourished. And it needs to be given the sunlight and the space to grow. And oftentimes we smother our own seeds, or we go and we dig them up and we say, fuck this. This doesn't work, because we don't see immediate results, because we live in a society that has microwave mentality and wants immediate results.
I love that phrase. Microwave mentality.
Yeah. So we just want instant gratification. You know, we want to pop a pill and our sadness goes away. We want to go get lipo and we're immediately skinny. And that's not how it works. So yeah, it's just really important to note, because I experienced this, you know, with myself, and then with going back and working in wilderness, and then with loved ones and watching them suffer and struggle and, like, you know, get sober and then relapse and all of these things. And it's really easy to get discouraged and to feel like your works are, you know, they're going and they're in vain, that they're not going to have a harvest, but that's simply not true. Divine timing is 100% absolutely.
Yeah. One, it's a process. It's not instant gratification. And so, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people have a really hard time with in today's society. I mean, like you said, microwave mentality. I've never heard such a perfect phrase, but yeah, just right here, right now. And it's like, no, you have to slowly but surely work on it. I mean, have an end goal and then take steps towards that. It's really important, but I think a lot of children especially aren't taught that.
So what was your pivot point?
So similarly, I had two pivot points. My first pivot point, I was actually 17 and I was doing a lot of drugs, a lot of hardcore drugs. So I did get sent away as well. Mine actually wasn't chosen. It was forced upon me since I was still underage. And I went out to Stephenville, Texas, which, if you know Stephenville, there's a whole lot of that. And so I spent 35 days in a sober – I spent 7 days in a detox facility and kind of snapped myself out of it. And I was under a lot of therapy. And then I spent 35 days in a sober home out there, and did a lot of counseling, a lot of outside therapy. Majority of our time was outside, got connected with nature. We did a lot of equine therapy, so with horses, which was absolutely wonderful. I love horses. And just these majestic creatures can do so much to teach you something, even when they're not even speaking words. It's crazy. So that was kind of my foundation for that. And then I fast forward a couple of years later, I went back to the fast-paced minded society. I lived in a fancy apartment in uptown Dallas. I was going out drinking all the time, and
I remember that,
which, I mean,
you were living the life, living, girl,
like, quote unquote, you were the life. And and working as a bartender, and I realized, yes, I'm making a ton of money, but this won't last forever and I need to go back to school. So I reined myself in. I chose a 6-month program to go to Paul Mitchell for aesthetics. And so I did my course while I was working there. I was like, I want to work in a spa environment. And so I actually got a job at Massage Envy. And I have never been so abundantly blessed in a job and to work with such in tune people. But I mean, I learned so much from them. That's when I learned about crystals and I learned about Reiki. And I mean, it was just like walking into this job. One, I was making money and it was fantastic. Two, I got discounted massages. And three, the teaching that I got from these people who learn to work with their hands and not just heal the muscles, but heal everything about the physical body was, I mean, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. And there's so many people that just pop up into my mind. And I mean, I'm so very blessed for everything that I learned while I worked there. And yeah, I mean, if you haven't experienced profound people, definitely find a massage therapist and somebody who does a lot of Reiki and not just works on the muscle side of the body, but also the chakra side and the emotional side. And I mean, someone, I can't even describe it. It's absolutely wonderful. But that was my pivot point. And I was like, it opened my eyes to so many different things, and mainly the metaphysical side. I had never even heard the word metaphysical until I had walked in there, and I was like, what are you guys all, like, why do you have rocks in your room? I don't understand. And they're like, no. And so I did so many classes, and I didn't even know the chakras. Like, I couldn't even tell you what they were. And so, I mean, yeah, it was, my mind was blown. And it was the most beautiful 2 years. And yeah, I've never been so thankful for a job in my entire life.
That is
shout beautiful. Out to Massage Envy.
Thank you for sharing.
I mean, so weird that such a corporate structure would provide so much enlightenment. But yeah.
Hey, you know, there's a proverb, and it says that there are infinite ways up the mountain, and the only person who is wrong, the mountain being like the path to spiritual enlightenment and awakening. And basically what it says is the only person who is wrong is the one who's running around the mountain telling everybody else that their way is the wrong way. And basically that's just a testament to like what you just shared, like some corporate structure brought you this awareness and this enlightenment. That's just a testament to the fact that it literally doesn't matter how, like what the avenue through which you're exposed to these things are, like it's gonna happen. Like the universe is conspiring.
Yeah.
It's always working for you. It doesn't matter where you are. And I'm getting chills when I
know
say
you're
this
giving
because
them to me too.
I so similar experience where when I moved to Denver, I started working at the Hard Rock Cafe at 16th Street. Again, big corporation. Yeah, Hard Rock's a little bit more like edgy and punk, but like it's a corporation. Yeah. And I started working there, and I'm not saying anything negative about corporations. It's just this, just disclaimer there. I'm not like dissing corporations. I'm just saying that they're not known for being spiritually enlightened and prioritizing the human spirit and prioritizing connection and people. Corporations prioritize profit. So, but one of the people in my life who was a big angel for me, and I hope that maybe she hears this, but I met her at Hard Rock, and she was the friend who introduced me to Buddhism, and who I spent a lot of time in nature with. And, you know, I had heard about, like, I had already started practicing yoga, but I was practicing yoga at 24-hour fitness at their classes. And, you know, the focus there is more on the physical body. It's not so much that holistic, because yoga is a spiritual practice.
Oh, 100%.
It is not, it's not a physical exercise. The physical exercise is just a bonus. So I had already started practicing yoga and meditation from a more Western point of view, where it was like, you know, for my psychological health and for my physical health, like, because I knew, like, we have the science now that we know that these ancient healing practices and modalities, we know they work. Like, we've known they worked for thousands of years, but the Western man needed to prove it. Yeah. And thank God that he did prove it. He, she, whatever. So she introduced me to yoga and meditation and Buddhism from that spiritual place. And from that place of, like, she was just embodying this Buddha. Like, and I know that's a very bold statement to make, but I just remember being around her and feeling so much peace and always feeling, like, so loved and accepted and not judged. And, like, she was just so able to surrender and so able to be that person who would hold light and hold space. And I'm so grateful for her. And I met her at Hard Rock Cafe.
I think that's so beautiful. Yeah. Well, and I think it's so crazy how I mean, Mother Earth will just bring these people to you. You don't even necessarily have to go out and look for them. Like, you found yours at a Hard Rock Cafe. I found my people at a Massage Envy. And I mean, I think it's so incredible that they just kind of planted into your life.
100%. Yeah, it's, you know, to me, that's evidence of God, of source. Mm-hmm. You know, like, people ask, like, show me the evidence that there is this divine source energy that is working in the invisible. And if you open your eyes, the evidence is everywhere. Everywhere.
Not even open your physical eyes, but open your eye. Like, yeah,
yes.
Like, just open
yes.
it and you'll see.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so what would you say your favorite characteristics about the people that you've met with similar mindsets would be?
Oh, that's a perfect question. I feel like I kind of just touched on that a little bit. So yeah, my favorite characteristics about these kindred spirits that the universe has blessed me with, that have been sent to me, that I've signed these soul contracts with, is definitely, so one, I have noticed that almost everyone that I come in contact with is such a fucking strong warrior who has overcome so much. Like, there is not a single person that I meet that doesn't have this amazing, profound story that like brings me chills and shakes me to the bone and makes me cry.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of you are absolute warriors of love and light, and so resilient, and have that just bounce back ability. And then on top of that, they don't let their heart get hurt.
Yes.
You know, maybe, yeah, sure, we all have moments where we're kind of like, fuck it, you know, and we don't really give a shit. But at the end of the day, that softness and that sincerity and that vulnerability and that bravery and willingness to feel their feelings and to honor them and to share them with people, which is so fucking scary in a society that does not support emotions and the human experience as a whole. So that bravery to just be love and to be light, I know that's so cheesy, but whatever, it's so profound and so beautiful to me. As well as, I mean, we're all old souls. That is definitely no secret. Like, we're all, and, you know, it doesn't matter what, like, belief you subscribe to, whether we're, you know, star seeds or old souls, or, like, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're all cut from the same cloth. And we're cut from the cloth of God, of source.
Yes.
And there's just so much passion. I love our generation, by the way. Our generation gets so much shit, but millennials, like, I love you. Keep doing you.
Yes.
Like, there's so much passion. Like, we don't give a shit what other people think. Like, we're here to create and facilitate massive change. And we're not afraid to do it. Have you heard about that girl? Her name is Greta Thunberg.
Yes. Oh my Thunberg. Gosh. I love her.
Yes.
She speaks out. She's 16. Yes. She's 15 or 16. But anyways, I mean, yeah, she does school strikes all across the world. I mean, I've been following her for the last year, and she is an absolute inspiration. She's like, I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to be scared. Like, her generation, especially, I mean, she's 10 years younger than us. And I mean, I can't even imagine, like, what our world is going to be like. I mean, we've already seen such a huge change in our global structure. And I mean, it's terrifying as is. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a teenager right now and see this already happening and know that this is going to be, I mean, it's going to be in our lifetime, but we'll be phasing out by the time it's really at a pivotal point. But yeah, I mean, I love her. She does amazing, amazing work. And if you haven't heard of her, Greta Thunberg, she is, I want to say she's from Germany, but don't quote me.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure where she's from, but man, she does work all over.
She is amazing. And she is, like, you're absolutely right. She's right. Like, people should be afraid, And not in the way of like, oh, like we're scared, so we're just gonna like keep doing what we're doing and like act like we don't see it. And yeah. No, like, no, you should be afraid and you should do something yeah. about it. And I emphasize this, you know, so much because I ask people like, do you want your children to know what the ocean smells like? Do you want your children to know what the grass feels yeah, like?
Or even see a lion in real life. Like, come on, guys. Right. Like,
do you want your children to see birds and whales and the bees? Because if so, you need to change. Yeah. Like, you need to change. And it's not, you know, you don't need to, like, change who you are. You just need to change your fucking buying habits, yeah. dude. Like, I'm sorry. I guess I should have made a disclaimer in the beginning of this. I'll do it in the beginning. I curse like a sailor, so if that offends anybody, I love you, but, you know, that's the thing.
They get the point across. But yes. Yeah, no, you should be yes. absolutely fucking scared. Our yes. world is coming through such a plastic. I don't even understand why, because it's so unnecessary. I don't understand how we got to this point, but there definitely needs to be a serious change. And any small thing that you can do, I mean, bring your own bags. Reusable bags to the grocery store, mm-hmm. buy a metal straw. Yep. They're $8 for a pack yep. of like 10 on Amazon. Like, it's not hard to carry yep. one in your car, one in your purse, one in your pocket. I don't care, nope. but just small things.
Have a reusable
coffee yes, cup. Yes. And I mean, yeah. it's okay to mess up. Like, I go to the grocery store sometimes and I'm like, dang, I forgot my bags. But I mean, the yep. 9 out of 10 times that I do bring them is doing something.
It makes a yes. difference. It does. Everything. And that's where people get lost is they think, and this happens all over, people believe, because society has told them, because the man has told them, people believe that what they do and what they say does not make a difference.
No.
And that could not be further yeah. from the truth. And we can talk about this from a science perspective. We know scientists have looked at they look at atoms under a microscope, right? And they've proven through science that what the perceiver believes to be the reality is what manifests. Like, literally, we've proven this through science that the behavior of atoms changes based on who's looking at it and based on whether or not it's being perceived. That's why we have the question of, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody is around, does it make a sound? Because we know that in order for sound to be heard, there has to be something to receive yeah. it. It's a vibration. So we know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that every single thing, like, you are an energetic being. We are, you mentioned this about the importance of not just the physical body, but the chakras, the energetic yeah. body, the subtle body. So we know that we are made of, we are energy. And so our brain is like the steering wheel. Our brain, well, our spirit, but no, our spirit is the driver. It should be the driver. It's either going to be your spirit or your ego is the driver and the brain is the steering wheel. Are you following yes. me? Okay. So you're driving this car that's life. And if you're leading with spirit, then you're leading with love and you're leading with faith and you're being your authentic self. And you don't give a shit what other people think. And that's what I love about us. That's what I love about our generation. And like the question you ask, like these people that we meet along this journey, is they're not here to give a shit what other people think. We are here to be our authentic selves because we are the medicine that this world mm-hmm. needs. Girls like Greta, who are leading school strikes for environmental change, are the medicine that this world needs. And so, yes, we should be afraid. And yes, our world, I actually would say that we're coming out of the plastic society and we're actually totally moving into this divine feminine, this more aligned, this more harmonious,
yes.
connected,
slowly but authentic surely, yes.
society. We are. I mean, just look at Instagram. Like, the lifestyle bloggers who got $50,000 in debt are no longer popular. And now people are like, give me the real shit. Yeah. Like, I want authentic. Yeah. So we are the medicine that the world needs and the world is healing and we are here to do that. And that's why there's so many of us. That's why we're coming and that's why we're all waking up at the same time so rapidly because the world is in danger yes. and we do need this. Yeah. Like, we need to make changes. And, you know, I'm not going to say that like shit's not going to happen. Oh, like shit's going to happen and you better be prepared. But you do you do have an impact, and your voice and what you do does make a difference. Every single thing you mm-hmm. do creates an energetic ripple effect that touches every single being, every single molecule, every single bit of energy yeah. in this world and beyond, out into the universe. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I hate when people say, like, I'm just one person, I can't do anything. And it's like, no, you're one person has such a large impact on the environment. Mm-hmm. And then not only mm-hmm. if you change a few different habits that you do, will it have a ripple effect on all these people. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to a restaurant and I take out my metal straw, or I'm in a drive-thru and I'm like, please don't package it in an extra bag. Like, I don't mm-hmm. like, I mean, obviously I'm still living the societal norms. I still do things in a societal fashion, but I make alterations. And it's just this look like, oh, you don't need a straw? It's like, no, I don't. Can you fill up my reusable cup too, please? And they're just like, oh, it's like, and so you create this ripple effect, and it's something that mm-hmm. people are like, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe I'll try that. And mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my friends, like when the whole straw thing was such a big change, like I would just drink from the cup that they would give me at the restaurant. They're like, you're drinking from the cup? And I'm like, well, I don't want to use a straw. Like, and they're like, oh, well, let me not use my straw too. And I'm like, cool. Like, mm-hmm. it changes people. It makes them think differently. And so, I mean, mm-hmm. why don't you be that person that creates a difference?
Mm-hmm. Be the change you want to
yes.
see.
Yes.
You know, it's cliche, but it's true. That's why it's a cliche.
Yeah. What do you think the most important advice to someone breaking away from family, quote unquote, traditional life standards would be?
Ooh. Do you want to answer this one first? Okay. Or do you want me to? I just intuitively feel as though this one is for you right now.
So honestly, right now, because I'm going through a breakaway point for myself, mm-hmm. I feel like this one is give no fucks. give no fucks.
But with love.
Yes. But
give no fucks, but with love.
Don't care about what anybody in your family thinks. Care about what mm-hmm. you need, what your physical and mental and emotional person needs. And if it doesn't mm-hmm. align with you, I don't care if it's blood. It does not yeah. need to be in your life. If it's not helping yeah. you grow, get away. Get away, get yes. away, get away, because it'll only damage you. And hearing these negative thoughts about how you can or can't do something, or you should be doing something else, it's not good for you. You, in your gut, know what is good for you. You're the only mm-hmm. one who knows that. So if you're not getting love and respect from the people who are in your family, find a new family, because blood is not thicker than water. I want everybody to remember this quote, and it's such a famous quote, but we've only remembered part of it, and it's blood is thicker than water, and that's not the entire quote, and it's taken so out yes. of context. The real yes. quote is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of mm-hmm. the womb. And so your covenant, mm-hmm. the people who you choose as family, I'm getting chills. Mm-hmm. I'm like almost brought to tears by this. The people who you choose to be in your family and the ones who will truly support uh-huh. you, that is who you can call family. And if your blood family yes. doesn't support you and appreciate you, it's okay to walk away. Don't feel guilty about yes. it, because you have to do what's best for you. And so, I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's the most important advice that anybody who is struggling with their family not being on the same page is, sometimes you have to walk away. And again, bringing it back to that ripple effect, it'll change people in your path and in mm-hmm. your family. And they'll be like, oh, well, they had to walk away from this because my behavior is this. So I need to alter this in order to have them back. And so it makes mm-hmm. them open their eyes or eye and see what you're going through, and just from a different perspective. Because I think a lot of family, they think like, oh, I can do anything to you, I can say anything to you, and you need to stay in this family and in the way we brought you up. And sometimes that's not what your soul needs.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
100%. No, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that I led with my intuition on that one and had you answer it. Because that was yeah. perfect. And another thing that I wanted to add to emphasize that is that when when we do choose to show up as our authentic selves and to, like you said, give no fucks, and we hold boundaries and we don't tolerate like any sort of abuse, and abuse is not just physical, it's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's psychological. And there are many people who are being emotionally and mentally abused and may not even know it. So that's something very important to note. But when you draw that line and you really, truly, authentically love yourself and also love them by not allowing them to, you know, try to fit you in a box or judge you or condemn you or whatever it is, then as like a natural byproduct, that's when they will start to actually accept you, when you accept yourself. You have to, everything comes from within, as above, so below, so within, so without, everything. Whenever people try to say and play the poor me, the woe is me victim, I, you know, I won't always say it to their face immediately because they might not be ready to hear it. And I understand timing, but in my mind, my first question and my first thought is, how are you welcoming and allowing this into your life? How are you in energetic and vibrational alignment with this thing that you're telling me you don't want? Because clearly you do want it. On some level, you want it and you believe that you deserve it and you believe that it is so. So how are you in energetic and vibrational alignment? Because again, like attracts like. This is science, people. This isn't just woo-woo, like spiritual. I love that science has proven what we know to be spiritually true. Me being an intuitive and a mystic who's lived many lives, I've always known these things to be true. So I'm like, yeah, that's not any news. I was talking about quantum physics when I was 5 years old, not knowing that there was a science behind it. I was just talking about the concept of it. but I'm not even kidding. But yeah, so how are you in energetic and vibrational alignment with these things that you are saying you don't want?
Yeah.
Just that's just a question for our listeners today.
Yeah, and it definitely takes a lot of inner strength. It's definitely not an easy thing to go through. And so, I mean, you definitely have to recheck yourself every couple of days. And I mean, even every single day, it's finding yourself, and it's a whole learning experience. So yeah. Okay. So I think that goes on to like the next question. If you could go back and tell yourself one thing, what would it be?
Oof. Yeah, if I could go back and tell myself one thing, I would just say to her, to Brittany.
Yeah, I forgot.
My birth name is Brittany. For those of my listeners who have not known me my whole life, yeah, you know, I forget. Kenzie has known me since we were, what, 14? And so my mother gave me the name Brittany, and I would say to her, everything is going to be okay. You are going to be okay. Don't give up. Because, you know, I'm crying now. Of course, it's the new moon in Cancer today.
Yes.
Cancer ruled by the moon, emotions, watery, the mother. Perfect. Yeah, no. So I would just... that I would tell her, don't give up. Everything is going to be okay. What you're going through, I know that right now it feels like the end of the world. It feels like you're alone, like you're unlovable, like nobody sees you and you have no place here. But that's not true. Like, your feeling is valid and you feel that way because you are here to facilitate change in this world. If you were to feel okay and feel at peace with the way that things are, then you wouldn't have the passion and the drive to change it. So lean into your pain and embrace it fully and love that part about yourself, because your pain and the way that you are not willing to accept injustice and suffering and people feeling disempowered and broken and being disconnected from themselves, that is exactly what you are here to change and to birth a new way of being. So don't give up. Keep going.
I think that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question and holding that space. Yes.
Yeah. I think another thing that I, or something that I would tell myself to younger self would be to breathe. I had never understood the connection to my breath, and I used to have severe anxiety and panic attacks, and everybody would always be like, well, just breathe. And it's like, you can't connect to it. And there's something so powerful about being connected to your own personal breath, that I wish I would have had that connection to myself when I was younger, because I felt like I was always looking to connect with something else. And I think that's why I went to a lot of substances to try and connect on a different level, because I couldn't find it within myself. So I wish I could just tell little me to go back and just breathe. Yeah.
That's perfect. I'm so thankful that you shared that.
Because I heard you taking breaths.
That's so important. Yeah, good. I'm glad you heard it. Thank you for that. Because that's, you're right. There's such a connection between our breath and our internal experience and our vibration and our state of being. And like we mentioned in the beginning, we need all of the elements and air and oxygen. Like, most people are not breathing. Like, they're literally like, like shallow breath all the time. And that's why we're also like, our sympathetic nervous system, our fight or flight, is turned on the majority of the time in this society. And when you take a breath and you take a deep breath, then you turn off the sympathetic nervous system and you turn on the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and recharge. That's also the sexy and the feed. But when you turn on the parasympathetic nervous system, it changes everything. It calms you down. You can rest. You can think clearly. Because when you're in fight or flight, your system's literally shut down. Your system's literally shut down. When we're not breathing. And that's why we're so sick. Because we're not breathing. It's like if somebody is also not drinking any water, if you're in the desert and you have no water, you're going to die. If you are starving yourself, you're going to wither and shit's going to shut down and you might die. You know, or if you're starving.
I want to point out that, because I think a lot of people think that they're breathing, but when you breathe, you're supposed to feel your gut and your rib cage expand. Yes. You're not supposed to breathe and get taller. It's not supposed to be in your chest. Yep. It's supposed to be in your gut. And I didn't know that until about a year ago when I was at a Tony Robbins seminar. And I realized that most of my life, I always wanted to look thinner. So I was always sucking in. And so when I breathed or took a breath in, I would feel it in my chest rather than in my gut. And you actually don't absorb enough air. And it's really bad for your lungs to do that. So make sure when you do breathe, you're breathing from your gut. And yeah, I never knew I was doing that. And I'd done it my entire life until a year ago. And I can't tell you the difference that my body has had. I feel like I have more energy and I'm not as tired all the time from actually being able to truly breathe.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's such an important thing to emphasize. And I appreciate you bringing that to light, because for me, and I don't say this to be braggadocious or to spin it about me, but I have a background as a singer. And so I've known how to properly breathe since I was about 6 is when I started taking voice lessons, is when they taught me to belly breathe. So I'm so grateful that my grandparents empowered me to chase my dreams and to do what I love. And I was able to do all of these extracurriculars because I was in choir and taking voice lessons from the time I was like 5 or 6. And so they taught me how to belly breathe. So that's my muscle memory. And my natural way of breathing is belly breathing. That doesn't mean that I always breathe deep enough, though. I definitely do still have to remind myself to breathe. But some people have such a disconnect from their body, and I'll try to teach them how to belly breathe. And they're like, I can't do it. And I'm like, you can,
it takes focus.
I'm so grateful that I have that muscle memory and that, and thank you for bringing that, because I wouldn't have thought to emphasize that, because to me, that's just natural. Yeah. So I really appreciate you sharing that with the Wild Alchemy listeners, because that's one of my, like, my foundations for what I teach and what I do in wellness is that connection to breath and just simple things. Like, you don't have to go buy anything to learn how to breathe. You don't have to do anything, and it doesn't have to take any time out of your day. It doesn't matter how busy you are, you can breathe. And that will, what you said, like, it really, like, does radically change your life when you're properly breathing. And sure, like, my preference on my breathing is to have a breathwork or yoga or meditation practice. But if you don't want to do that, or you don't have the time, or you're not ready, you don't have to. You can just, when you're going through your life, stop and ask myself, how's my breathing? Get a sticky note, put it on your journal, put it on your fridge, put it on your mirror. How am I breathing? Am I breathing? How is my breathing, or am I breathing? And just click and tune into it and take a deep breath. Turn off that sympathetic nervous system. Turn on that parasympathetic nervous system and get into alignment.
Yeah. And it's something that's so easily done. And I mean, you can just do it anytime you're in your car. It, like you said, you don't have to like have a whole lot of time. You can do it while you're doing other things, when you're in the shower. Just, that's another really great place to like really take some deep breaths, because you have that steam. And so it's really great for your lungs. But yeah, no, it, I mean, you can do it in any of your daily tasks that you're already doing. It's just checking in with your breath. All right.
Yes.
So let's move on to the next question. So this one's really, like, I love this question. What are your favorite qualities of your old lifestyle that you still indulge in?
Oh girl, I love this question. Yes. Okay. So yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what our lifestyle was like, because we mentioned that not everybody may know, exactly what it's like to live this lifestyle and be raised this way. You know, because I don't know what percentage of the population is privileged, probably less than 30%, like privileged to the, on the scale that we were, probably less than 30%, maybe even less than that, maybe even less than 10% of the population experiences this lifestyle. And so it's so funny, because we mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast that we lived in a bubble, and, you know, we were raised by a generation who believed that money creates safety, which creates happiness, and which creates, you know, the things that you need. And so that's kind of what our parents and what they did, what this lifestyle was like. It's created on this belief system that your safety and your worth and your safety and your worth is what it boils down to. Whether or not you're safe, whether or not you're lovable and you're worthy is based on a dollar amount.
Yeah, your financial standards.
And they got it. You know, they were the ones in the class that like were making A's, right? Because they're comfortable, really comfortable. You have these luxuries that you don't even realize are a luxury until you go. And you know, I was so thankful and blessed that I was raised in a Christian background. So I grew up going on mission trips. So I did grow up with an idea of what the world was like. I also, again, I am like 7,000 years old. So I already knew that there were starving children and that I was privileged and that things were not right in the world. But thankfully, my physical body and this brain was able to witness that and see that at a young age going on mission trips. But, you know, even just that, even just the privilege and the blessing of being the person being of service rather than being the person in need of service. And I have experienced both sides of the coin. I have experienced homelessness. I have experienced poverty. I am technically you know, below the poverty line mm-hmm. right now in my life, according to the United States of America. So that's funny. That's interesting. Isn't that funny? But yeah, so we grew up in this bubble of comfort and luxury, luxury, luxury.
Yes. And when I, when you know, we say luxury, like I don't think we were to the point of it being this bad, but I remember like every event, like it was like, okay, I need a new outfit. And I almost picture that movie Clueless, where she's just like shopping and like, I mean, so self-indulged and like tries on different outfits. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's how I feel like I was at that age. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's everybody around us was the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely levels, and there is definitely a layer, like we weren't in the 1% bracket. We were probably in like the 10 to 20% bracket, if you're looking at income. So we're not quite that level, because there is another level of it that it's like, whoa. And a lot of there were a lot of kids we went to school with.
Yes, 100%.
You and I were the quote, poor kids of the rich kids. We were the poor rich kids.
And that's why we had to like try so hard to keep up with all these kids. Yes. And I think that's why we got ourselves into so many different sticky situations is because we were trying to keep up with the Joneses. Yeah.
We were. Yeah. Yes. We were, which is so funny. We were trying to keep up with the Joneses because we were, not only were we the quote poor kids of the rich kids, you know, we were on the, we were also weird. Like we were fucking weird.
Yeah. We didn't have standard married parents and
I was raised by my grandparents.
I was raised by a single mother.
Yep. And you know, I mean, just like who we are, like we were just weirdos. I don't even know how to describe it, because it's just who we are. But like, you know, like my sense of humor, like I'm awkward, but I'm like sexy. Yeah. And we're just weird. Like we're wild.
Yes.
We're wild women. We are the women who are wild. We cannot be tamed. We cannot be told what to do. You know, if you tell us not
we're gonna do it.
Like I might have not, maybe I wasn't gonna do it, and then you told me not to do it, and now I'm doing it. Like literally justice fight you. But really cutting off my own nose despite my face, I think is the expression. But anyways, to answer the question, I did wanna kinda go on that loop. About what it was like growing up in this bubble. We were weirdos, and the little luxuries that I still like to indulge in. So I like to call myself a luxurious minimalist. And so what that means is when I did my journey going to Denver, I started to like get rid of my shit. Like, and I realized when I moved out of my grandparents' house, girl, I had so much shit. I had 2 bedrooms and 3 closets and stuff in the attic. Full of just shit. Yep. And so I remember going through that, and I still have shit to go through and get rid of sitting in a storage unit and stuff in my grandmother's house. But when I started traveling and I started exploring a different lifestyle as an adult, I couldn't have this shit, and I didn't want it. It was a burden and it was a stressor. So I basically like got rid of like most of my shit. Now the stuff that I have is all my like paper memorabilia, because I'm a big scrapbooker and I'm a writer and I'm really creative. And so I have boxes and boxes of craft supplies and like journals and art that I've done. And one day I'm going to have like, you know, an art gallery and, you know, books of poetry and books of art and like all this stuff published. Like, that's why I'm still holding on to it. I swear it's coming, you guys. But right now, so I got rid of all my shit. So what I have here is I've gotten to the point where like I could fit everything I needed into 1 or 2 suitcases. I could fit everything I needed into one bag. I could fit everything I needed into a backpack. But the things that I have, I do have a home right now. I have like a daughter, so I have a little more stuff than I would like to. But the things that I have now, everything I have, I absolutely love. So I'm sure some of our readers have watched Marie Kondo's Tidying Up or read the life-changing mm-hmm. Art of Tidying Up. She's lovely. She's beautiful. And what's so funny, the method that she teaches, you know, the go through your things, starting with your clothes, and then go through the different categories, get rid of anything that doesn't spark mm-hmm. joy. So I do that periodically. I do that regularly, is I get rid of anything that doesn't spark joy. And I only welcome things into my life that bring me joy and that light yeah. me up. And so those are nice things. Yes. I like nice things. I eat, you know, I understand that it is a privilege to eat the way I eat. However, I do want to say, and I feel comfortable saying this publicly, I am on food stamps, and my daughter and I eat completely organic, local, whole food on food stamps. So I don't want to hear a single freaking person say that they can't yeah. afford to eat healthy
yeah.
ever again. Please stop.
Yes.
Stop with that bullshit. So I eat completely organic, real food on food stamps. And I can teach you how to do that. That is where you would hire me as a coach. But anyways, so that is a luxury. I do realize that the mindset that I have about eating that way, you don't realize that our parents' money and our lifestyle is what bought mm-hmm. us that mindset of being conscious of your eating. A lot of people believe that they don't have a choice because that's how they were raised. So this isn't a tangible one, but another one is my mindset, my positive mindset and my belief. Like, I'm well aware that the reason that I believe that I can have anything I want and do anything I want. Yes, a good part of it is just my spirit and the way I came into the world, you know, as a healer, as a teacher, as who I am. But I'm well aware of the way my upbringing played yeah. a part in that, because my grandparents allowed me the luxury of international travel at age 6 and 12 and 13. And, you know, like I said, being able to be of service. And that's a luxury that I, you know, there's a lot of people our age, Kenzie, who they might make the exact same amount of money as you and I do, but they don't travel at all because they believe that yeah. they can't do it. And it's not about how much money you have. It's about yes. the mindset. So I indulge in the mindset that I am a queen. I am a goddess. I am deserving. I am divine. I am worthy, and I can have anything I want. And I, like, again, like, guys, I am technically right now on today's date, on July 31st, 2019, new moon in Cancer, my income level would be considered below the poverty line, but I am so fucking abundant.
Yep.
And the things that I do have, like I said, I don't go buy a bunch of little dumb shit, little $5 like trinkets, $1 trinkets. And I don't have a bunch of meaningless stuff. Everything in my life has meaning and adds value. And if it doesn't, I get rid of it.
Yes, I love that.
So I have nice things, and my nice things treat me nicely, and I treat yep. them nicely, and I appreciate them, and they add value. Like my essential oils, that's definitely gosh. One.
Yes.
Like, can't live without. I cannot live without my Young Living. You know, I went to the farm two weeks ago.
I saw all your posts. Oh, I'm so jealous.
It was amazing. It was so beautiful. It smelled like freaking heaven. The distillery, they were distilling lavender mm. that day. And
just think of how relaxed
honestly,
you all
it was
are.
So strong. I know. I was hot. I had been overheated. I was a little dehydrated. So I go inside and there's fans on in the distillery. But the lavender smell was honestly so strong. I did get a little bit of a headache, but I was also like, oh, yeah. I like it. But yeah, so my essential oils, and I keep my things to a minimum, but I keep them to value. So I don't go and have little splurges where I spend a bunch of money on cheap clothes. Like, I have only pieces that I absolutely love. And if I don't, mm-hmm. I get rid of it. And so the pieces that I have are really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? What do you? And also, I take really good care of myself. You know, the massages, the acupuncture,
yeah, chiropractic really care.
And that's also something that even if you don't have money, your insurance probably covers it. A lot of Medicaid covers acupuncture and chiropractic.
Yes.
So again, when people try to say, that's why I talked about mindset as the real luxury, because that's what everything boils down to. When people try to say that the reason they can't do something is money, that's a lie. The reason you can't do it is because of your mindset. And coming from somebody who was raised in a very privileged lifestyle and is now technically considered in poverty, still living the same lifestyle, but better and more abundant because I have less shit, but my shit brings me more joy because it actually serves a purpose. And my relationships are meaningful. My relationships are deep. My relationships are spiritual. They're authentic. They're intimate. That is not because of anything external. That is because of my mindset.
Well, and I mean,
and my mindset was,
no, you're good.
Sorry. I'm on a roll. My mindset was very much a product of our education and my upbringing, being able to travel the world and like literally being like kind of like a little bit of a princess, you know, like having, you know, I was spoiled. I was raised by my grandparents. I was the last child that they raised. They felt like they needed to compensate for the fact that they weren't my mother. And oh girl, if I wanted it, I had it. And I remember being a little girl and no, not even a little girl, like a teenager. And there was this slogan and I wasn't even the one that made it. And it was Britney always wins. And I wrote that everywhere and everyone knew it. Like she always gets what she wants.
Yeah.
Always.
I love that motto.
Oh my gosh, I can't. I love that. I feel safe being able to talk about that because there was definitely a period of time where I had a lot of shame around that. I was like, wow, like, you know, and I was Queen Bee.
That's literally what your nickname was in school, Queen Bee.
That was, yep. My nickname was Queen Bee in school. Yeah, that's my luxury. Yes. What about you?
So something that I still indulge in, and it's been really hard for me, is the food aspect. I'm such a foodie, and I'm...
Like going out to eat?
Yeah.
Oh, girl, and yes. That's hard.
It's so incredibly... I mean, I cook just as much as I go out to eat, but there will be spurts, especially when I travel... that I mean, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's more expensive to go to the grocery store when you're traveling and get all these things that you need and cook than it is to go out and eat. And so that's something that's really, that I still indulge in. And I mean, right now, my boyfriend is a chef and so he's an incredibly big foodie too. And he loves going out. And I mean, we always try to find, like local, mom and pop restaurants. We try not to go to chains. We try to minimize our fast food intake just because of all the plastic that's used. It's not quality food. There really is no nutritional value. I mean, our food intake, girl, like we indulge. And I mean, since I've been dating him, I've gained 10 pounds. Like he cooks for me. The food is just
that's how you know it's love.
I am very well fed.
Oh.
But yes. Yeah. So that's something that we still indulge in. And I still indulge in lots and lots.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's okay. You know, everything in moderation. Exactly. Like, what I like to do, because I, you know, it's not really like in my budget for me to do that right now. I give myself a monthly budget for my indulgences and my little luxuries. Like because you need to enjoy your money. You're putting time and energy into this and you're earning something and you need to enjoy it. Fun and play and feeling good and treating yourself is a human need. Yep. Let me say that again. Fun and play and loving yourself and indulging in treating yourself is a need. It is essential to being a balanced human being. We live in a dualistic realm And there is the balance of the poles. There is the masculine and the feminine. There is the, you know, what, negative and positive, if we're talking science and electrons and protons. you get what I'm saying. So in order to have balance, you need to have a good work-play balance. You need to be able, especially if you're a woman. If you're a woman, you should be playing more than you're working. You should be being more than you're doing. If you're a woman, like, your magic and your gift is just who you are. You don't have to do shit. And we have been conditioned in this patriarchal, misogynistic society to try to be men, basically, and to believe that our worth is in what we do. And again, like, the money. And, you know, we see all these girls that, like, we went to school with, and you see their, and I'm not dissing on this again, but, like, they're very professional and they have this job where they're, like, being one of the boys. You know what I mean? And we've all done it. I had my journey where I was very masculine, but very wounded masculine of, like, I'm going to dominate and take charge. Because I didn't want, I used my wounded masculine to protect my wounded feminine, my wounded inner child. Because my wounded inner child had been hurt so bad that I figured that the only way that I could get out of it and heal would be to hurt men, you know, in the way that they hurt me, right? But anywho, why did I go on that tangent just now?
Play.
Play is so important. And so that's a takeaway that I want our listeners to hear today about this conversation, about one of the gifts and the blessings of the lifestyle that we were afforded, is that for us, it's just natural and second nature to treat ourselves.
Sorry, my dog is barking.
That's okay. Hi, puppy.
There's nothing even outside, so I don't know what he's barking at. Come here.
That's okay. That's funny. You know, and I remember having a conversation with some coworkers at one of my recent jobs, and I put my foot in my mouth saying that self-care should be a priority for everyone. And they felt hurt by that because they come from an upbringing where that's the opposite of the truth. If you take care, if you take time to take care of yourself, then you're lazy and you're worthless. And you're not being a service to your family.
You have more, I'm not going to say you have more value, but you have more intuition. And so you're able to give more in your other aspects of life. If you take time for yourself, you're more tapped in when you're doing other things. And so I definitely think it's so important to take time for yourself, even if it's just, I mean, if you don't have a whole lot of time, even if it's just 5-10 minutes a day, like, wake up earlier, go to sleep later, give yourself that time.
Yes,
it's so important. And I think this whole time we've been talking, I've really been hearing the phrase, take time for what you want. And so if you want it bad enough, you'll make time for it.
Yes. And sometimes we don't want it because we don't think we deserve it. So you make time for what's a priority no matter what. So if you're spending all your time complaining, guess what? Your priority is complaining. That's what you want. That's what you care about. So if that's the issue, if you're not making time for what it is that you truly, truly in your core essence, when all this shit's taken away, there's none of the bullshit three-dimensional materialistic capitalistic society stuff in front of you, it's just you. Like, that is where your focus should be. That is wow, I just lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
That's where your focus should be. And so I mean, it's really
before that. But what was I saying before that? Like, where was I going? Like, with that?
I have no idea where you were going then.
For what's a priority. Okay, so if that's not what you're making time for, then the work that needs to happen is internal, is what I was going to say. You can't do it from the outside to come from the inside out. And that's one of the things that we learned from the duality of our upbringing, is in trying to fill the void with things and with drugs and all of the stuff and sex, you and I, we experienced feeling even emptier, right? I felt even emptier and more desolate and close to, and at bottom, at my rock bottom, the more stuff I had, the more lovers I had, the more drugs I did, the more I chased that. And so it was in taking that away and getting in touch with my my core essence, my true self, my inner child, you know, whatever you want to call that, getting in touch, going in, which is where nature is so powerful. It's in the going within that we realize what's important, and then we can shift and say, okay, it doesn't matter what happens, every single day I'm going to hit that mat and I'm going to flow, because I know that when I hit that mat and when I flow, my life is better. I am a better me. And that's where we were. We were talking about the belief and the upbringings and the cultures where self-care is basically a bad thing. So the simplest way I can put this is, you have a glass of water and it's empty. Can you give anything from an empty cup?
Never.
No, you cannot pour from an empty cup. So if you are a mother, if you are a giver, if you are a human being and you believe that you can't take time for yourself because you're of service to other people or whatever it is, then you need to take care of yourself. You need to take time for yourself. You need to do that more than anyone else. Like, a mother needs it. A woman needs it more than somebody who is like an independent young single man with no responsibilities. You know, a woman or a man who is a father needs, because he's giving, than somebody who's like, nope, I'm sitting on the top of a mountain, not talking to anybody. You know, it's just me. I'm not responsible for anyone or anything. You still need to take care of yourself, but you're already taking care of yourself. Anyways, that's an unnecessary tangent that I'm probably going to edit out.
Hold on. I don't know what my dog is barking at.
It's okay. I think, I feel like, do we have any more questions?
So we do have one more question, and this one's just for you. It says, if your daughter was in your shoes, what would you want her to know if she chose a different lifestyle?
Okay, so when you say that question, if my daughter was in my shoes, do you mean like if I had raised her in a different lifestyle?
Or even if she's in this lifestyle, if she didn't choose the same lifestyle, what would your advice to her be?
So like if she decides to go like chase money and fame and fortune and all the things that I don't chase, basically?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? And the question is, what would I want her to know? Well, so here's the thing. Like I've mentioned before, I do believe in divine timing and divine intervention, and I believe in destiny. And I believe that there are certain just things that it just is, and it's not going to be changed. Like who I am, your essence, your soul's purpose, it is. Like your soul's purpose is etched in the Akashic records. It's etched in the records. And it's not going to change, right? So it doesn't matter how you get there. It just matters that you do. And you do just by being. So basically, I would just want my daughter to know that whatever it is that she chooses to do, whatever path she chooses to follow, that I trust her and that I have faith in her and I have faith in the divine. And I have faith that God, you know, the divine will always have her and hold her, the divine mother, the divine father. And even, God forbid, if something were to happen to her and she left this world before me in this tangible body, even then I know that source has her. And I know there are a lot of parents who, you know, they do lose their kids to drugs or to just happenstance or, you know, whatever. And That's what parents are afraid of, right? Like, that's why we make the choices we make. Is really what it boils down to is parents make the choices that they make on how to parent based on what they think will keep their kids the safest. And then if the safety needs are met, then they go into the thriving and what's going to allow their kids to not just be safe, but thrive, right? Be happy, abundant, joyful. So that's why I parent the way I parent, and that's why other parents parent the way they parent, because that's what they believe will bring it there. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we do. She has free will. She's her own person. She is going to do what she wants to do, and all I can do is empower her and equip her with the knowledge and the skills to navigate. So like what that looks like for me is like holding space for her to feel her emotions, allowing her that space to feel them, to navigate them, to honor them. Encouraging her to follow what she's interested in. And so I just believe that if I do that, then it doesn't freaking matter if she chooses a different lifestyle than me, because she knows why I make the choices I make. She knows why we eat the way we eat. And, you know, honestly, you don't go from growing up eating real organic whole food to going and eating fast food every day. Yeah. You just don't. You might have like a burger every once in a while when you go out to get a drink with your friends, and then you're like, yeah, give me a burger or some tacos. But if you get raised, that's the beautiful thing about, and why it's so important how we raise our children. If you get raised eating well, guess what? You're probably going to eat well the rest of your life. Your early childhood lays the foundation for your habits for the rest of your life, unless you consciously decide that you want to change them. And that's why it's so important to normalize a lot of these things that people consider something of privilege that really is not. It's just a little bit more education. And that's where the privilege comes into play, is that we were educated more. But eating well is not something for rich people. I'm on food stamps.
It's for everyone. Know? Well, and it's for everyone.
My
food bill has gone down significantly since I stopped purchasing meat and dairy. I mean, I can't tell you how much my food bill used to be whenever I dated somebody who was practically a carnivore, and only really ate meat and potatoes. And now that I only have vegetables and beans and rice, and my diet is so nutritional, but it's also so inexpensive. But I absolutely love your answer about your daughter. I think it's really important, especially for parents who believe that their child should be raised in this structure. And it's definitely a very thriving structure, but I think it's very important for other people who have children to know that children do go out on their own and they do want to explore, and giving them the room to do that is so absolutely important. And so I love your answer. And I think that's, it's added a perfect touch. Especially for older people who have older children and who are out and exploring right now and trying to find their footing in the world. Your job as a parent is to be there and guide them through what they're going through, not to force them into a lifestyle that you think that they're supposed to be on.
Yep. Yeah. And to allow them the space to make affordable mistakes, right? Because if you raise your kids in a bubble and they never experience, that's actually why there's so much death of drug overdose in these wealthy societies, because they're raised in a bubble, so they're not equipped to take care of themselves, and they didn't make affordable mistakes. So they go out into the world and now they're basically an adult and they're like, "Woo, I can do whatever I want." And they do things that they would not have otherwise done if you had allowed them to like fall and scrape their knee or like lose a friend when they were a kid. You know what I mean? Like whatever it is, you know, what's more dangerous, crashing your Barbie Jeep or crashing your actual Jeep? You know, like let your kids make mistakes, like let them fail a class and suffer the consequences, or whatever it is, like they need that freedom. And being a person who, I was a wild child, and that has not changed. I'm still very wild. That's why I named my podcast Wild Alchemy. I know how important it is to not try to stifle and smother a child or a person in their process, because it will only make it worse. Like if there's a behavior that is unwanted, it's going to amplify it. What you resist persists, and what you focus on, you create more of. So if I focus on my daughter doing something I don't like, guess what? She's going to do more of it by law of attraction, by science, by just is. That just is what it is. So.
Well, I think that is an absolutely beautiful answer, and I have absolutely enjoyed our time together.
Yes, thank you so much, Kenzie, for being the pilot guest speaker for my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I honestly, like I said in the beginning, I feel so honored And I do think this is a perfect way to start your podcast. And I'm so excited to see your growth. And I've absolutely loved watching you grow just as a human being since we were teenagers. And I think it's very special that not only do I get to watch you grow, but I have someone so similar to my lifestyle and the choices we made when we were younger and now again when we're older. So it's really awesome to see that I'm not walking a journey by myself. Even though we haven't been close, we have still been walking hand in hand, as I would say.
Oh, that's so beautiful. You're going to make me cry.
That gave me chills.
Thank you. Yes, we're never alone. And that's really beautiful what you just said. We are absolutely like hand in hand, even when we were in completely different places of the country going through different but similar things. It's like we're all interwoven and we're all connected. And that's really what this podcast is about. Like, that's what this space is for connecting all of us in a tangible way, like through these conversations and these connections. So I'm so grateful that this aligned, that this is my journey, that this is our experience to have you here with me to do this. Thank you. I'm really excited.
I'm excited to listen to all your future podcasts.
Today is the day to sign those contracts to yourself and to release anything that's no longer serving you. That's what this theme of these eclipses has been, is let go of what's no longer serving you. So much gratitude, so much alignment, and so much beauty in this conversation and in everything happening right now in the universe and in our lives. I'm so grateful that you are one of the beautiful and blessed souls that I get to enjoy this human experience with and this trip around.
Nice to you. So, yes, I'm so excited that
anyone wants to get connected with you, Kenzie, to follow your journey on Instagram or socials. How can they find
you? I am at Conscious Living Kens. Conscious Living Kens on Instagram. You can follow me, Mackenzie Cook, on Facebook, although I am predominantly just on Instagram, but my last name is spelled K-U-C-K for those people who want to follow me on Facebook. I mainly just repost like conscious living memes, so it's nothing real personal on Facebook, but Instagram is definitely where you're going to see the most content, and you'll get to follow my journey as I explore onto a new path of van life. I'm picking up my entire life. Yes. My boyfriend, my dog, and myself are moving into a 1999 Chevy Express that we are converting ourselves at the moment. And we will be traveling through North America. So you can follow that journey.
Yay. That's so exciting. I'm so excited for you and to follow that journey.
I'm excited to be living. I'm excited for the opportunity that I have made for myself and that the universe has brought to me to be able to do this and share it with everybody else.
Yeah, yes. What a blessing.
Yes.
What a gift. Well, all right. Thank you so much. I will let you go on your merry way today.
You.
Happy new moon. Set some intentions.
Yes, happy new moon, sister.
Mercury is going direct. See, I love Mercury retrogrades because I have a strong connection with Mercury.
Typically,
but some people really are not a fan. So Mercury is direct today, and it's the new moon, and there's a few other things going on in the cosmos. So, you know, let's all celebrate and be intentional. Yes.
And I think it's a very important time to get in tune with yourself. So if you haven't started a self-practice, I would definitely highly, highly recommend tapping in this week and learning something new, because it's a very good week for it.
Yeah, well, and new moons, it's new, right? It's the perfect time for starting new things. And we know that we're, like, not supposed to sign contracts during Mercury retrograde. Well, guess what? Mercury is direct today, and it's a new moon. So if there's a contract or something that you're wanting to sign, or even a contract to yourself, a commitment to yourself for a self-care practice, for a self-love practice, like Kenzie said, today is the day.
Well, radiant souls, that is a wrap for the first episode of the Wild Alchemy podcast. Thank you, sweet friends, for listening, and I hope to see you next week.